Our scripture today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, some selected verses. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all the parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew, Greek, slave, or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. The foot says, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. It would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. You may be seated. The next part of the scripture will be later. Four or five weeks ago, I was working on an article, Church and Medicine. There's a story that's been around for a couple of years that I knew about. It seemed to be an appropriate story for the subject I was covering, so I added it to my article. When I got through writing it up, I had this transitory thought. If I ever get asked to preach again, this story might be a good place to start. Then I got a call 4 days later from our secretary, Karen. 21st of June is Francis' last day. 5th of July will be the first day for the incoming minister. The 28th is open. Will you cover? Well, I had a story, so here I am. Now, to add to that, the pastor we were supposed to have next Sunday has canceled. So Paula Mero will bring next Sunday's sermon. Terry School, our chairman of our board, has been working on trying to draw up a list of future speakers, and so we have this thing covered until such time as we have our own minister. For today, I appreciate those of you who made the effort to be here, and I hope this service will be a positive step forward in your Christian journey. In our country, we have millions of people who are lonesome, anxiety, and depressed. Some of them will move to a rural area like Cloudcroft to find some place to hide. Others are in the city, among billions of people, but they basically are alone. Isolation is not the best treatment. We have found that with our COVID-19 regulations, separation, isolation, it just not is the way the Lord designed it to go. Studies have shown that if you improve your mental status, you can improve both your spiritual health and your physical health. You can lower your stress, lower your blood pressure, lower your cholesterol, improve your hormone balance, and improve your immunity simply by improving your mental status. Now, how do we go about doing that? One of the first things that comes up is meditation, a closed, prolonged thought. There are different ways to meditate. One of the earliest and easiest is prayer. Take time every day to sit down, relax, and see what your situation is with the Lord. You can augment that with devotional studies like the Upper Room and Daily Bread, where you add scripture and other interesting stories. For some, it's just reading the Bible. You can all add to that meditation walking or yoga. I don't think it's important what kind of meditation works best for you, but you should do it every day and find out what is best to get you going each day. In addition to meditation, there is socialization. In Genesis 2:18, the Lord said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Then you know the rest of the story. He put him into a deep sleep, took a rib, created Eve, got a wife, and they became a pair, one flesh. Now, however you want to translate that scripture, I think the thing is perfectly clear that we were not designed to live alone. We are best to have a mate. Those of us who do not have a mate, we still need family. We need others we can associate with, share our praises, share our concerns, and be mutually supportive. The church should be one of the best places to find this kind of relationship. Now, in the history of the church, I am intrigued by the story of the circuit riders back in the 1800s. One circuit rider may have as many as 6 churches to serve. On horseback, 1 per week is all he can handle. So what happens to the church on the other 5 Sundays when they have no minister? The laymen take over. The laymen preach. The laymen read the sermon. The layman conducts the church business. We've had a taste of that here with one pastor. Pastor's out of town. The laymen have had to fill in. I personally have been impressed with the work and the caliber of the messages that we have heard. We are thanks to Paula Merrill, Terry Scholl, Jane Sutherland, Jan Hunter, Iola Wright. They have all given us great service. And if I've left anybody out, I apologize. The last few years, I have been your conference lay delegate. And every year we get the same thing. We have more ministers retiring than we have new ones coming on. It is getting to be a real problem for the bishop and his cabinet to find enough ministers to fill all the spaces. When that happens, the layman must step forward and fill the gap. I think it's interesting in our history that in the time of the circuit riders, where the church was largely run by the laity, it was in the Methodist Church the period of our fastest growth. In my life as a Methodist, and that's been a long time, I have known many ministers, I have heard many ministers, and I have the impression, with no figures to back it up, that many of these ministers, including our own Dick Richards, are eager to tell you how they were called to be ministers. Some were sons and daughters of ministers. Others were reprobate troublemakers who, for some reason, had a conversion and became ministers. Whatever the reason, They're interesting stories, and we are thankful that they answered the Lord's call to be a minister. But I do not think the Lord that I worship is calling just ministers. He is calling each and every one of us to answer his call. As in today's scripture, what is your spiritual gift? If you know, that's good. If you don't know, think, pray about it. We all have gifts. It should be something you like to do, something you do better than others, and something you can continue to improve by continued work. We all have gifts. Individually, they not amount to very much. But together, as one body, we can be much more effective. Now, I promised you a story today. That's the reason I got up here. So we'll turn to Matthew chapter 19. This is an introduction to the rest of this. Verses 16 to 24. Now a young man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false witness, honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions, and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, as far as we can tell from the Bible story, this was a good man. He was a sincere man. He had tried to do what was right. He was even asking for further advice. But when it came down to selling his possessions, that was a call that he was not ready to answer. And he turned sadly and walked away, and the last we have heard of him was his departure. The story I want to share with you today is a true story. It's a modern story. In fact, it is still unfolding. It is about a man named John Robbins. John's aunt married a man named Bert Baskin. Bert was a good businessman, delightful personality, a good addition to the Robbins family. Robbins' father, Irv Robbins, was also a good businessman, a family man, and John was his only son. Bert and Irv were both brother-in-laws and best friends. So they decided to get together and start a new company. And the name of that company was the Baskin-Robbins 31 Flavor Ice Cream Company. Business was good. Business boomed. Baskin-Robbins became the largest ice cream business in the world. From a business standpoint, their stores were doing annually billions of dollars of work. From their personal standpoint, they were accumulating multi-million personal fortune. The Robbins had a beautiful home. In their backyard, they had their own private swimming pool, designed and built in the shape of an ice cream cone. From the outside, it looked like an unbelievable success story. From the inside, trouble was brewing. Bert was a good man, a good businessman, a good personality. He loved his ice cream. He became grossly obese and suffered a heart attack and died in his early 50s. Irv Robbins, also a good businessman, developed diabetes, followed by hypertension. Business was going great, but he was too sick to enjoy it. John was his only son. Through childhood, John said he was practically raised on ice cream. He seemed to be sick more than the other kids, but nothing serious. Since he was the only son, the family assumed that when the time came, he would take control of the company. And that seemed to be approaching quickly. The family was upset when John announced that after much thought and prayer, he believed that the Lord was not calling him to run an ice cream company. He was being called to another line of business. He turned his back on the multi-million dollar inheritance. He turned his back on running one of the best companies in the country. He and his wife moved to an island off the British Columbia coast. They had built a one-room log cabin, planted a garden, and started a family. The first year that John was away from the rest of the Robbins family, the total income of the family was about $1,000. But John was happy. He was happy because he was doing what he thought he was called to do. He began to write articles that appeared in major magazines and newspapers. He wrote 9 best-selling books, translated into 26 different languages. I happen to have 4 of those books. The one that seemed to cause the most attention was a book called Diet for a New America. The public broadcasting system had him on a full hour's program on his book. That program in later years was given credit for people contributing to the public broadcasting system. He also wrote Food for All, Diet for a New World. One of my favorites is Healthy at 100, a goal I hope to achieve. not yet. And then the fourth book, The Food Revolution, How Your Diet Can Help Save Your Life and Our World. John is the founder and still chairman emeritus of a group known as Earth Save International, whose primary concern was healthy food choices, saving our environment, and a more compassionate world. He served on the board of several nonprofit organizations. He is a recipient of several awards. The Rachel Carson Award, the Albert Schweitzer Humanitarian Award, the Peace Abbey's Courage of Conscience Award, the Green Americans Lifetime Achievement Award, and other accolades. John had a son named Ocean. Ocean grew up to be a man and joined his father and is now co-director of their food revolution. Ocean was the founder of a group called Youth for Environmental Sanity. Their food revolution company has over 30 CDs with interviews in depth with experts in this field. They have a website. Anybody can get on it. They have daily emails on diet, health, and our environment. Every year they sponsor a summit meeting to consider new research and new progress in this field. They currently live in a house in Santa Cruz, or outside of Santa Cruz, California, and the house is totally solar powered. John has become recognized as a world leader in diet, health, and trying to save our environment from self-destruction. Now, all of this is possible only because John was willing to turn his back on the multi-million dollar inheritance and follow the Lord's call to do what he thought he was called to do. The time will come for John, like it will for all of us, when we'll leave this earth, join our Creator. When that time comes, John will leave a legacy behind of doing his best to glorify the Lord by helping his fellow man in food, health, and saving our environment. A legacy that will go on for generations to come. Today, the Lord is calling all of us to serve, glorify him by serving our fellow men. Are you willing? Are you ready to answer the Lord's call? Amen. Where's our closing music?
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, we meet on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms.
May your day be blessed by moments of quietness, light in your darkness, strength in your weakness, grace in your meekness, joy in your gladness, peace in your stillness. May your day be blessed. Amen.